Everybody picking me up? Oh, sounds like it. Cool. All right. So that was awesome. I don't know. I come here a lot on Wednesdays, and the song, like, always leads right into the thing that's about to happen. I don't know. It's like, I don't know, God's here. So I don't know. Let's pray a little bit. Dear Father, thank you for everyone coming tonight. Thank you for, you know, safe travel. I have some people coming here to see me, I guess, from far, far away. They made it safely. Just ask you tonight, let my words be your words. Let anyone who needs to hear what I have to say hear them from you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, all right, and you can throw the first slide up there. It's just a welcome slide. All right, so I'm Bryant Stowell. Some of you guys know me, some of you don't. A lot of you probably know my fiance, Miranda Snow, instead. I've been coming here since she asked me to, about 2 years ago now. So I'm here to talk about kind of my journey as a Christian that you know, has been going on for a while. And you know, and I'm happy to be up here and talking with you guys, and I'll be back in September to get married. So I don't know. Okay. So, basically, just kind of want to lead into who I am, where I come from. I'm not from Fredericktown, so I know a lot of people around here know all everyone else in town, small town. I'm from Licking County. I am the oldest of four boys. You can go to the next slide. That's me. They're dark. So I had to scan some old pictures in, and they just kind of came out dark. So that's me. I'm little in those pictures. But anyways, I'm the oldest of four boys. Oldest grandchild in my generation of the family. Some might say the you know, best looking. It's just opinion. I don't know. Beyond that, you know, there's four of us, four boys in this family. Rumor has it that my parents, Brian and Shelley, wanted to have a girl. At this point, nobody really wants to admit which one that was. Here we all are. So I've been a whole bunch of different places. My dad was in the Navy. He kind of, you know, drugs all over the world. I've been to a lot of different places. You know, I was born in California. I've been as far around the world as a Japan. Lived there for a while. And it's been a bunch of different experiences for me. You know, I averaged a new school every year up until high school. You know, making new friends every single year, going to a new school every single year. It was a big deal. You can go to the second slide, too. Or, actually, stay. Yeah, that's good. Nope, you're good. You're good. I forgot. So, this is just some more pictures of me and my family. I'm there in the middle. That's my brother Nicholas as a baby, brother William as a baby. My dad wearing some awesome, awesome snakeskin boots back in the 90s. And, you know, it's just what we have, so I threw it up there. Let's just see who we are. My earliest memories kind of start, I lived in Delaware for a while. I remember like eating Fruit Loops with my grandma out of a box, sitting watching TV when she'd come to visit. We lived in Rhode Island. I experienced my first winter there. Definitely experienced winter in Rhode Island. I always kind of spent time, we always came back to Ohio. It's always been home for us. My whole family, both generations all the way back. After Rhode Island, we moved down here. I go to kindergarten the second time. I didn't do so well the first time. We make the big move to Japan. Fly like 20 hours across the pond all the way over. It was a completely different world. It was also the first time that I ever did anything that was inside a church that I can remember. You know, I did the vacation Bible school. I think I ended up with a bracelet or something, had some beads, and I don't really know what was going on. But I was a little kid, that was kind of it. Japan was a different time. You know, I didn't get to see any of my family. It was 2.5 years all the way alone out, you know, across the world. But we come back at the end of that period of time. It was really cool. We got to, it's a 20-hour flight. So you're like, you know, or like all the way across the world, and you got to hit all these connectors. And we got to Chicago. And I think like our bags had already gotten to Ohio. They were ahead of us somehow. They like gotten on a faster plane and they're already there. And so we were so far late, they're like, we have one plane left, and you can take it or you stay overnight. And we hop on this plane, and me and my let's see, at that time it'd be two brothers and my mom and dad got to ride first class by ourselves on our own, like 747, all the way to Ohio. And we thought like we were like rock stars. You know, the pilot came back and was like giving us candy and stuff, and it was really cool. It was a sweet homecoming for us, coming back. So after Japan, we ended up. I was back here for a couple, like a year and a half of school. Did some more vacation Bible school stuff during the summer. I went to church with my grandparents on my dad's side. They go to a Lutheran church down in St. Louisville. There's, I think, currently about, what, 8 members, I think, going down there. It's a little church. You know, she'd take us along. We'd go. Still didn't really know what was going on. It wasn't a regular occurrence for us. And, you know, I kind of credit that. You know, we moved around a bunch in my childhood, and I never, you know, the consistency of, like, sitting down and going to the same church for 23 years or, you know, whatever, we just didn't have that. And I'm not resentful for that at all, but it is, I'm so glad now that I find one, this one here. It's awesome for me. So after coming back here, a little bit more vacation Bible school, whatnot, end up out in California again, where I started, where I was born. And I did attend a little bit more church out there. Went to some Sunday schools, went to some Bible schools, and things like that with some friends. I never have ever turned down an opportunity when someone has asked me to go to church. I was never against it or anything like that. I was always interested. I was always curious. You know, what's this religion thing? What's going on? I did have a unfortunate, visit. I ended up going to it was with one of the kids lived across the street. We were going to a chess match that day or something. I was like chess club, and I was kind of a nerdy kid. And he invites me to his Catholic church. And, you know, I didn't know anything about it at the time. And I remember the dad, he kind of just turned to me and he said, you know, I think they were going up to do communion, is my guess. And he just, like, told me, he's like, just sit down, stay there, don't say anything, don't do anything. And I'm just, like, sitting there, like, you know, I didn't feel involved. And it kind of set me back. You know, I really didn't understand at that point, and it didn't help me to kind of step forward and to really trying to find out what's going on, you know, down there at the church or whatever. So, you know, it was kind of a little different. So moving back, we came back to Ohio. I finished out half of 7th grade, moved to Virginia Beach, and then I got to do 8th grade all the way through high school. There's some consistency there. While I was there, about the most time in church I ever spent was my first job I ever had was a janitor at a huge Southern Baptist church. That would fit like 4 of these rooms in their like auditorium or whatever. So that's all I ended up doing. I was you know, cleaning up after Sunday school, dirty diapers and graham crackers grounded on the carpet and everything else. So there's a lot of work that goes into that, and you guys that put it on out here are saints for it. So I would then go to college. I went to Ohio State. I'm a Buckeye. So that's you know, I'm writing the Lord for that. And I went to Ohio State. My first year, I failed a math class, which was awesome. I'd never failed anything before. I didn't know really how to take it. And I switched majors. I bounced around majors a couple times. I was really good in history. I liked history. I knew I wasn't going to get a really good job out of history, but, you know, let's get a degree. So I do that. I take a couple anthropology classes, and I fall in love with it. Anthropology is a study of man, and there's a couple subsections of that. There's linguistics, study language, cultural, you go study like an Indian tribe. Archaeology, you dig up bones, you know, old stuff. And then there's physical anthropology, you study of evolution. And I know that's like the big E word in church. I'm still trying to struggle with that whole, how that fits together and everything. That's not why I'm here today. It's just, you know, it's a question. And, you know, through reading the Bible and understanding, you know, learning is growth in understanding. I'm just trying to, you know, learn, you know, it's on my journey. So, anyways, got out of school right in time for the recession to hit. So I had no job opportunities when I came out of school. That was like in 2008, 2009. You can go to the next slide now. These are a little more grown-up pictures of me and my family here. All 4 boys across the bottom one there, my dad and my little nephew actually down there for Christmas. That's me and my brother William. That was like the day I proposed to Miranda. And not him, I proposed to Miranda, just in case you're wondering. And then that's my grandpa Phil. He's not a Stout, he's a Ray. But he's sitting on top of Nicholas, sitting on top of William, sitting on top of me. I'm at the bottom of that pile getting squashed. So we are 4 boys. It's a handful. So, all right. After college, I ended up stuck in retail. I didn't get anything to do with my degree or whatever. I ended up with 2 degrees, actually, and nothing. So grad school fell through. I really wanted to go to grad school, and just, you know, with the recession, it was just not in the cards. So I ended up in Akron as a manager up there, working at a retail store. And I didn't really, at the time, I thought it was going to be a great raise. I was going to get all these benefits. And I didn't fully understand what moving out on my own, living on my own, and managing all my money was going to really entail. I have since kind of gotten that under control out at the 20-something group. We had our financial study class, and I am eternally grateful for that. But it was tough. I had been working retail for 2 years in college and 5 years out of it, and I just had to do something about it. I basically threw in the towel, made a radical change, decided I was going to quit. I quit right in the middle of like Black Friday season. You know, like it was like the middle of October, end of October. Left you guys high and dry. I've got a couple people here from that store. They don't hate me that much. They're actually here. So I quit my job, and at the time, my dad was working in Houston. He was on a long-term project down there with his new job, living in a hotel. And he's like, you know, I was like, well, I've heard all these refineries are like booming, and they're hiring all these college grads, and you know, they'll just come on and put you on the job and pay you like really well. And I'm like, okay, that sounds like me. So I go down there. I apply for like 300 jobs while I'm down there in a hotel room. I'm like, I have nothing else to do. I'm sitting there filling out applications, and I get nothing back. Not a single call on any single thing. And at that point, you know, I'm living in a hotel room. I have some savings. I'm paying a car payment, student loans, day-to-day stuff. I'm running out of money, and I begin to despair. It was, you know, getting pretty tough. So that kind of leads me to, like, the most exciting part of this that I like to tell about this story. I don't know. I get really excited about the people that I've met throughout this thing that really helped me become a Christian, and I'm so, so thankful for them. Without them, I wouldn't be up here. I wouldn't be saved. It's a really, really cool thing for me. So this kind of leads me into, so I have 3 brothers, and I, you know, my mom and dad might have been wanting a daughter, whatever, but I guess God saw fit that I have a 4th brother. I met this guy I work with at Columbus when I was working retail there. His name's Ryan Strayer. You can go to the next slide. And so this guy, and some of these pictures are going to be like pretty food-oriented, like those are donuts there. Anyways, so this guy, just, you know, we meet up, and he's like, hey, I heard there's a rock climbing gym in town. You ever go? And I'm like, nah, I've heard about it, but I want to go. And we kind of linked up and ended up going to this gym. I like to climb trees. I always liked the rock wall at the fair and all that stuff. And so we get kind of build a friendship through that, you know, going rock climbing, going out to Kentucky, going on trips and things like that, hiking, camping. And through all that time and everything that I spent with him, I learned that this guy is a Christian. Like, he's hardcore into this stuff. And, you know, we're out, we go, you know, you're hiking to a crag or something, talking. And inevitably, you know, you bring up religion. I talked to him a little bit about what I'd been to school for and stuff like that. We'd compare notes and talk it over. And it just really opened the door, I guess. I wasn't at the point where I, like, had kind of, I knew there was, like, something out there, and I just didn't know which was the right one. Like, what flavor of Christianity do you pick? Or, you know, I didn't know how it all worked. So I really enjoyed, and I welcomed that conversation. So this guy, eventually, he graduates college. He moves back down to Houston. Little foreshadowing there. I talked about Houston already, but he moved back to Houston where he's from, marries Rebecca, and he starts spitting out kids and all this stuff and whatever. And that was about the time when he moved back down where I was in Akron just really struggling. I kind of started feeling something moving for me. I didn't quite know what it was, but I don't really find any coincidence in it. A lot of the things that kind of happen going forward are what led me up here. So I made the decision to quit my job. I never quit anything. You know, my parents raised me. They said, you know, you don't quit. You know, I hated baseball at times or whatever, and they were like dragging me to practice. And I learned that, you know, and I respect that. So it was tough. It was very tough for me to leave. But ironically, I end up with this plan that falls in my lap to move to Houston where this guy lives. And this guy is the one that's opened the door for me to becoming Christian. It wasn't, you know, South Carolina. It wasn't California. It ended up being Houston, Texas, like 30 minutes from where this guy lives. So, you know, I didn't find success in Houston. I mean, I don't believe it was in God's plan for me to be in Houston. During that time there, I spent some time, you know, again, Ryan asked me to go to church, and I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go to church. Well, we go to his church. His church is in like a warehouse in the meatpacking district or something down there. I don't know. It's like in an alley. And it's not a church. It's just a building where these people are all getting together. They have band and everything like this. And it wasn't this like stuffy, you know, thing that I'd experienced before. And I was like, what? This is so different. You know, all these people are like people dancing over there, and there's people up here worshiping, and it was so different. And, you know, I attend a couple different functions with them, and you find these people that, you know, like, that guy was a drug addict back there, but he is a successful business. That guy over there was in domestic abuse situations, and he's got a family, and everyone, like, he gives back to the community. And it just blew my mind that these people had, like, found God in this setting and had turned around their lives so substantially. And I hadn't really seen that before. You know, it was, we go to church on Sunday, you know, and that was it. And this was so much more powerful and impactful on me to see that this is how this actually works. So, you know, I think of it like they were shining with his glory. It's just an example of his power and grace. So towards the end of my stay in Houston, I don't know what we did during the day. I came home or came back to Ryan's apartment, and we're talking out on his balcony, like third floor walk up. And, you know, we're talking back and forth. I'm, you know, about my struggles and what I should do and what I should think about trying to do. And finally, you know, we're going nowhere, and Ryan just looks up at me and he says, there's only so much advice I can give you, so much that I can say that'll help you without you looking at things through a relationship with God. And that was kind of like the line in the sand for me. You know, he threw down the gauntlet, essentially. And I hadn't committed to anything at that point, and I really, you know, I scratched my head. I was just not sure, but it was the push I needed, I think. I don't know. And so, and then in closing with that conversation, he also asked me the question of, what are you about? Just four little words. And since that day, I've tried to, I've contemplated and tried to work out the answer to that question every day. And I think that the only way that question can be answered and should be answered is you need to be about doing the works that Jesus has put you here to do, that God wants you to do. I, you know, didn't know that at the time. You know, I was still searching. I left this thing scratching my head, you know, totally lost. I was, you know, tumbling still. So a month after that conversation, you can switch to the next slide. So I was, so there's some rock climbing stuff there. I've got some really scraggly, nasty long hair, but whatever, that's the one there. So a month later, this is where I am. This is right around the Mississippi River, headed back home. I gave up. I packed my bags and got in the car and left. Probably shouldn't have taken that picture while I was driving. Don't do that if you're, don't follow my example there. So, you know, the drive from Houston to around here is like 20 hours. It gives you a lot of time alone in a car to think about things. And, you know, right around, I remember why I took this picture was because I had like an epiphany. I had a lot of resentment in me at the time, a lot of regret about how things had kind of led me down to where I was, who I was as a person, what I had not achieved. And I just let go of all of the, resentment that I was harboring for these people that I was blaming for the decisions that I made. It was almost like, I don't know, it was as much a spiritual journey for me as a physical journey, coming home and just becoming a new person. It was like by the next day after I got to like Nashville or something, but the next day I was a brand new man. I felt like so relieved and at peace for just forgiving, you know, and that is, you know, that's the biggest, you know, that's a huge teaching to forgive, and I embrace it. So I get back home. I run out of my entire life savings. I have no money. I remember right before I got a job, which I'm gonna get to, I was like paying my last like $400 into my car, and that was all I had. I like it was a zip, and I was like, I need a paycheck next week, or you know, they're not gonna catch. So I end up coming home and looking around for a couple jobs. I got some leads on some jobs down at the county, working for Licking County, one of them being a transit dispatcher, full-time job. I needed benefits. I didn't have health insurance at the time, and the law just changed. I was going to get popped by the IRS if I didn't have insurance. So I was like, oh, yeah, I need that job. And the other, and I was like, oh, I'll just apply for these other couple jobs while I'm here. And the other one that I applied for was a super, like, 4 hours a week every other month paycheck dog warden position. I, you know, went to school studying animals. I thought it'd be cool, whatever. I got the dog warden job that pays nothing, that gives me 4 hours a month, whatever. Anyways, so I didn't even get the job I wanted, but it was a job. But then here's the thing. Within 4 months, I was full-time, I was benefited, and I loved the job. It was fantastic. You can skip to the next slide. Some puppy dog eye candy for you. Everyone loves puppy pictures. So these are my coworkers. I get to see things like this all the time. It's awesome. So things, I mean, looking back on this, things at this point just seem to be falling into place for me now. And I don't, you know, there is no coincidence in that. I think it was intentional that every little thing that kind of happened for me was going the way it needed to be. You know, you know, I worked this job for a couple months, and then Ryan, he ended up having a baby, his first kid, and I was like, oh, sweet, I've got money, stable, and I wanted to go see him, you know, pay my respects, you know, see, check out his kid and say hi and tell him how well I was doing, you know, after talking to him and everything. Ryan's testimony to me is the only proof I need that God exists. This guy, he graduates college, goes home, gets married immediately to his sweetheart. I mean, he dated this girl for 3 years while he was in school. Well, she was in Texas, and he was in Columbus. I mean, they saw each other in the summer times. They date like that for 3 years. Both of them are heavy, heavy Christians, and they love each other, and they love each other with God. He starts a job out of nothing. He becomes a bike messenger. That was the bicycle picture up there earlier. Delivering food in the neighborhood. You know, he liked bicycling. It was like his, you know, his hobby. He turns it into a job that becomes a successful little thing. But then through that, he ends up meeting this guy that runs this high-end bike shop. They make bicycles that sell for like $15,000 or, you know, absurd money. And he ends up meeting this guy that's like, hey, my partner just quit. I need a new employee. You want a job? And he throws it to him. And he takes it, and it takes off. And they have this kid, and his wife, you know, in this day and age, decides to quit her job to raise the child. And that's, like, kind of becoming a thing that's unheard of. You know, it's two parents, two jobs to just make ends meet anymore. And his boss is like, hey, we actually are doing well right now. I'm going to give you a raise to pay for your health insurance and pick up the slack from your wife's paycheck. And it just, every little thing like this just keeps happening for this guy. He needs an apartment, or needs a place to live, and then this thing comes open. He meets a guy on the sidewalk, and is like, hey, I got a place, and it just works out. And the dude's in the Word every single day. I remember, you know, crashing at his place when he was in college, and waking up the next morning just stumbling around like a zombie looking for coffee, and he's in his kitchen sitting there at the table, you know, Bible plopped down, leafing through, sipping coffee, just at peace. And, you know, that's who he was. So at this point, you know, making that visit or whatever, I'm like right on the edge. I come back home, and right at that time, I just met you, Miranda. So I work with a guy that is married to a girl that works with her. And we got set up on a blind date. And I'd never been on a blind date before. I'd never been on a whole lot of dates anyways, but I was like, sure, hey, let's try it out. So I go on a date with her, and, you know, 2 years later, we know where we are now. But I remember one of our first couple dates, we were walking around down at the park in Mount Vernon, the aerial park with the lakes and stuff, and we had a little discussion about religion. And she's like, hey, you know, we're talking back and forth. And I explained to her, I'm like, hey, I don't go to church. Never really been, but I'm not opposed. I did go to school. I've got these beliefs over here. I'm not really sure how it all works, but whatever. She's like, hey, do you want to come to church? And I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll go to church. You know, I'm not going to turn down. Well, and then she's like, hey, you want to go to Ignite? And hey, you want to go to Patty's group? And, you know, and I'm just like, yeah, sure, bring it on. You know, just, I'm going. You know, first off, I'm going. It's kind of like a, sort of like a date, but I'm also getting, you know, going to church, whatever. But I was open to it. You know, I wasn't just going because it's a girl. You know, it's not that. So the Lord was calling me is really what was happening. So so you can skip to the next one. So, yeah, there's that stuff there. Oh, you can't see the, I put that one up there, you eating the taco. So, let's see here. So I kind of was coming to each service, and I was really starting to buy into this whole thing, this church, and I really liked it here. It was kind of like in the sweet spot, I guess. There was, you know, you get the thing on Wednesday, the Ignite, and I truly love this on Wednesdays. It's like, it's by the middle of the week, you know, I'm like just halfway dragging already, and I come in, usually like the middle of the day on Wednesday, I'm just like, man, I'm grumpy. I just want to go home, put my feet up, and inevitably, I come in here, you know, and I praise and I worship, and by the time I leave here, I feel so much better. I feel so much more at peace for the, you know, just coming in here midweek. I think it's a great, you know, great thing. So, all right, so it was a Wednesday. I was in here. I was sitting back there like one of you guys. We broke up into some little groups. I don't really remember what we were doing. That's when I got saved. It was just a Wednesday. I really thought that getting saved meant like this big pomp and circumstance thing. Like I was going to have to, you know, parade up here on the stage in front of everybody and say something or do something. And I just didn't know how it was going to work. And I just was so nervous about that whole thing and how it was going to happen to me and when, you know, like how's it supposed to go? And, you know, I just didn't know. I've learned, you know, there is no wrong way to commit your life to Christ. There is no wrong time to commit your life to Christ. It can be in here Wednesday night, be Sunday, after, you know, sermon, whatever, inside, outside, whenever, wherever. It doesn't matter. You know, God's around us wherever we are. So, you know, and I didn't know what to say. And if you don't know what to do, what to say, there's so many people in here that would be willing to just sit with you, pray with you, help you through it, and talk with you. And that's really all it is. It's beginning of your honest and true relationship with Christ. So, you know, and I was sitting back here and I look up and I'm just like, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do this. You know, I wanted to be saved, and Janice is right there and she's like, oh, well, come, you know, come right here. And by the time I knew it, I was up here at the altar and we were, you know, praying, and I threw my sin at the feet of the Lord. I gave it up, and I accepted him as my Savior. And at that time, you know, it was a really kind of cool little feeling, little butterflies in the stomach kind of thing. But I didn't really know what was going to happen, you know, what was going to, you know, it's a starting point, though. You are completely starting over. Yeah, it's, but, you know, I was still the same, I felt like the same person or whatnot, but I don't know. So I just, looking back, I was embarrassed, and I wasn't embarrassed for any reason. It didn't need to be that way. And I hope that if anybody else has that same kind of feeling inside them, like, oh, it's not the right time, just do it. It's like the simplest little thing. I don't know. As a newbie Christian, it feels like really cool to see when someone else does it, you know, gets saved too. They're like, hey, you're like right in the door behind me. That's awesome. Like, way to go. So, let's see. So, cool. So that kind of leads me into the next big thing here. So recently, my family, I don't know if you guys all know, but we went through a pretty big tragedy in my family. My mother and my father's house, where I lived, burnt all the way to the ground. Total loss, everything inside the house is gone. It was home. You know, it was the safe place where I always could come home to, come and return. It's where I came after I went to Houston and failed there. It was a nice place, and it was all gone. So you can go to the next slide. So that's the one picture I have that I took during the night of the fire, and that's, I don't know, 10 minutes after we got out of the house. But it was a Monday night. I'd been to the 20-something group over at Patty's, and don't tell them I'm 30, by the way. I'm not 20-something anymore. I stayed up a little bit later than usual. I usually don't go to bed that late, but I didn't have to work the next day, and I was staying up. I get to bed, lay down at like 11:30, and I'm watching something on my Netflix, on my phone, and I start to doze off, and I, you know, lay down. And it sounds like hail hitting the roof, and I knew the weather was supposed to change that night, but it was weird because the weather, instead of coming from that side of the house where it always comes from, was coming from that side of the house, and I was like, yeah, maybe it's just a really weird storm. Then that noise changed, and it sounded like water falling through the roof down the ductwork in my room. There's no plumbing in the attic. You know, it's a two-story house. There's no reason for there water to be like that up there. So I finally get up, and I'm like, there's got to be something going on. So I walk across out into the walkway in the house, and I look down to the living room. My mom's down there, and she's like, what is that? And I can hear, it sounds like marbles just rolling down the roof, and it's a really weird sound. And I'm like, I have no idea. Is it hail? And I keep walking across the room, across the house, and I get into the last room on the house where the stairs to the attic go. And when I walk in that room, I just hit a wall of smoke. And I'm like, oh, you know, like my heart sunk. I'm like, this is not good. I pull the steps to the attic, and just a cloud of smoke rolls into the room. And I'm really worried at this point, obviously. I just got hit in the face with smoke coming out of the attic. And I want to see, you know, is it on fire? Is it just, what's going on? Is it smoldering? Is it something we might be able to stop? And I can't even get my head up into the attic because the smoke's coming down so hard I can't breathe. But I can hear that noise, that popping, that cracking that I thought was hail, is the fire in the attic. I yelled everyone to get up, you know, get moving. My grandpa was in his room watching TV. He wasn't asleep. He just didn't know what was going on. He get him up. My mom tell her. I call 911. And I'm on the phone throwing clothes on, you know, telling them, hey, we're all up. We're all awake. We're going to get out of here. But it's on fire. And they sent like, I don't know, 9 or 11 different fire stations ended up sending units. Yeah, it was a bunch. I had to go in. My youngest brother, who sleeps in the room next to me there, he was dead asleep, and I like had to almost smack him to wake him up, and I wasn't trying to scare him, but it was pretty scary. After this, you know, I talked to a bunch of people. They're like, man, I don't know what I would do. You know, if my house caught on fire, you know, I'd probably just start grabbing stuff and throwing it out the window, and I'd save this, and I'd grab that. And I'll tell you, man, I had 10, 15 minutes before that was that, after waking up. And it was not, I mean, there was nothing to grab. And looking back on that situation, if you have a house fire, I mean, it's the one thing you've got in your hands is your life. And if you don't get out of the house with that thing, you've lost it all. And it was a huge thing. I mean, we lost my dad was in the Navy for 27 years, all the memorabilia from there, all the things we've collected across the country, across the world. All the pictures and things. That's why, you know, the pictures in the beginning are all dark. I had to scan old pictures that people had given us of us that we didn't have anymore. It was crazy. And that night, it was a super rough night for everyone. You know, we're still getting through it, but I think it's all going to be working its way out pretty soon. So after this all happened, and I had a chance to actually think about what just happened, I just lost all that stuff. That wasn't even what I was thinking about. It was, how specifically I had been placed in this situation this night to make sure that me, my dad, my mom, my brother, my grandpa all got out of that house. If I had gone to bed 10 minutes later, I was already pretty drowsy when I laid in bed and was watching a show, I may not have heard that, you know, and I shudder to think what that would have done. And just, you know, that small little change, or that, you know, could have been just a huge, huge monstrous change. And, you know, I think that, you know, God tucked me in that night, told me, hey, get in bed now. And, you know, and I thanked him in the morning after this was all over. So I got up and walked out to the smoldering remains. I mean, that's not hardly on fire, but by the end of the next day, there's nothing there. I mean, the whole wall just is gone, the whole thing. And I went out and just kind of stood over the ruins and, you know, I prayed. And I thanked him for getting everybody out, for letting me know what was going on there on the fire, and, you know, for everyone's safety. So go ahead and switch to the next slide. So there's the family out at the house. There's no house to the left there. It's just kind of a, I don't know, picture we took afterwards. We're all still doing okay. Everyone's going to get a house here eventually. My mom's building soon. She just got her plans Friday. And then I'm actually about to buy a house as well with Miranda, and we're going to be living here in Knox County. I'm not whisking her away too far. Even my youngest brother is actually getting his act together, and he's going to be living in a house with someone else as well. So it's all good. I mean, we're all being taken care of in that sense, and we have a place to go. So out of this whole thing, God has really shown me his glory and his grace. We, as a family, have hardly ever been through any sort of tragedy. I didn't know what it was like to really have to even go to a funeral until just like three, four years ago when my grandmother passed. I had never lost a family member. I hadn't even broken a leg, you know, broken a bone or something, you know, nothing tough in my life. And this was a huge, huge thing for us. I mean, it's the first thing that I can really, it just blew us away. And out of that whole thing, I mean, we as a family have received the most ridiculous outpouring of support and kindness and grace from everyone in this church, my parents' little teeny church, the community, and it's something that I don't think I can ever repay. I don't know how to repay it. I ran out of ways to say thank you for all those things that were given to us and the support that we had. And it really showed me, you know, what a church is, what a church is supposed to be. You know, this isn't the one where, hey, sit back there and be quiet or anything like that. This is a church, a body of Christ involved helping itself. And I'm eternally grateful. Out of this whole thing, in my mind, the way that I see where I'm kind of getting, I've been shifted to, it almost, to me, it's always felt like God just kind of like standing behind their like little child, like just kind of pushing them along, you know, like keeping them over here, trying to help them stay, you know, stay straight, walk straight. And it was just probably this one here, this last one, a little bit of a shove, you know, maybe getting me out of the house. My dad joked that he finally got them kids out of the house after this all thing happened. So, and they're rebuilding with no room for me, so I can't go back. I don't know. It's been definitely a sign for me that God is using me. God is putting me where he wants me to be. And I'm going to continue to let that happen, and I welcome it. So, everything's good now, and I owe it all to God. So, you can go to the next one. I think there's one more. Yeah. So, I was coming across some scriptures while I was putting this thing all together. And I just now, I guess once I've, now that I've been saved, I find just like these simple moments to be in awe of God. And that picture there, I mean, that was just like 2 days ago down on Upper Fred. I just was like, this is a glorious day. This is a glorious day in God's kingdom. I don't know. It just was really cool. So I love that stuff. So, well, that's all I've got. So we can close, and I'll let's go ahead and pray a little bit. So, dear God, thank you so much for letting me speak up here tonight, not stumbling around too much with my words. I hope that anything that I said reaches those people that needed to hear it. I pray that you will continue to guide us all on the path that you have chosen for us, that you will show your plans for all of us. You know, you show so frequently that our plans are not our own, that anyone who makes plans, you know, cannot count on those being accomplished. They must look to you, Lord, for your guidance and your path. So thank you again. Just pray that everyone here tonight makes it out, makes it home safe. Just bless everyone that's been here tonight. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.